Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and thank you for standing by. Welcome to Innergex Renewable Energy's conference call for the first quarter 2014 results. Bienvenue à la conférence téléphonique des résultats du premier trimestre 2014 d'Innergex Énergie Renouvelable. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Following the presentation, we will conduct a question-and-answer session for analysts and institutional investors, and instructions will be provided at that time for you to queue up for questions. If anyone has any difficulties hearing the conference, please press star followed by zero for operator assistance at any time. I would like to remind everyone that this conference call is being recorded today, Wednesday, May 14th, 2014, at 10 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time. I will now turn the conference over to Marie-Josée Privic, Director of Investor Relations. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Bonjour, mesdames et messieurs. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I'm here today with Michel Letellier, President and CEO of Innergex, and Mr. Jean Trudel, Chief Investment Officer and Senior Vice President Communications. Also joining us is Mr. Jean Perron, Chief Financial Officer and Senior Vice President. Please note that the presentations will be in English. However, you are welcome to address your questions either in French or English. Vous êtes les bienvenus à poser vos questions en français. I'd also like to point out the journalists are invited to call us afterwards if they wish to address any questions. In a minute, Mr. Jean Trudel will provide some details on our financial results to March 31st, and Mr. Letellier will provide an update of our operating activities. We will then open the Q&A session with all three senior executives. The financial statements and the MD&A have been filed on SEDAR and are readily accessible via Internet. You may also access the press release, financial statements, and the MD&A on the Innergex website in the Investors section. During this conference call, we will refer to financial measures such as adjusted EBITDA, free cash flow, and payout ratio that are not recognized measures according to IFRS, as they do not have a standardized meaning. Also, please be advised that this conference call will contain forward-looking information that reflects the corporation's expectations with respect to future results or developments. For explanations concerning the principal assumptions used by the corporation to derive this forward-looking information and the principal risks and uncertainties that could cause actual results to differ materially from those anticipated, I invite you to consult the first pages of the corporation's MD&A as well as our annual information form. I now turn the conference to Jean Trudel.
All right, merci Marie-Josée, and good morning everyone. So I'll just start with a few words on the results and then an update on financing and M&A activities. So during the first quarter, which accounts for only 17% of the year, the corporation's facilities produced 417 gigawatt hours of electricity, or 84% of the long-term average. So cold weather and low water flows, resulting in low water flows in BC, partly compensated by above-average production in Ontario, the wind and the solar segments, mainly explain this performance. The low water flows in BC continued in April, and we are just starting to see an improvement with the start of the freshet season. If you recall, we posted very similar results in Q1 last year when consolidated production was also at 84% of long-term average, mainly because of poor weather conditions in BC as well. The addition of the Magpie hydroelectric facility acquired from HydroMega in July 2013 and the better performance of the wind facilities helped increase production by 8% year over year. Unfortunately, the contribution from our newly commissioned hydro assets, Northwest Dave and Kay Creek, was limited given the low water flows in BC. The shortfall in terms of revenues and EBITDA for the quarter is about $7 million and $5 million respectively, as lower operating expenses partly offset the lower revenues. Of course, that the effect of weather be negative or positive on our results, we have very no control over it. On the positive side, with the acquisitions and the recent commissioning, we are starting 2014 with 95 megawatt more of net installed capacity, and our assets are all demonstrating a high availability rate. This represents a 20%, this increase in acquisitions represent a 20% increase to our long-term average production compared to 2013. So we have more capacity to produce if the weather actually shows up. So for the reasons I just explained, revenues for the quarter increased 5% to 37.6 million, while adjusted EBITDA remained unchanged at 25.3 million. So in terms of financing and hedges, the market conditions appear to be trending in the right direction in terms of liquidity and credit spreads. So during the quarter, we solicited financing offers from several interested parties for the long-term non-recourse project financing of the Tretewick Creek Hydro Project in BC. Our intention at this point is to execute a committed term sheet with the best party in the coming weeks, with the expectation to close the financing over the coming months. Concurrently to this process, we are about to start soliciting offers from interested lenders in the coming weeks for the long-term non-recourse project financing of Boulder Creek and Upper Lillooet Hydro projects. It usually takes 3 to 4 months to get to closing when everything goes well. So we can expect, I guess, closing in either Q3 or early Q3. During the quarter, we essentially completed our hedging program to cover the risk of rising benchmark rates on all our projected financing needs, including the 4 hydro projects in BC and the Metgigoujoujoun wind project in Quebec. Until closing of all the financings, the variation in the mark-to-market value of these derivatives, which can be quite significant, will affect on a non-cash accounting basis our reported net earnings, as you could, as we could see this quarter. At closing of each of these financings, we will unlock these derivatives and realize either a gain or a loss that will compensate either higher or lower than expected fixed rate on the financings for the next 40 years. Now, in terms of M&A activities, I guess the things are progressing with regards to the St. Marguerite 1 Hydro Mega asset that we intend to purchase. And it is definitely an unusually long process, we can grant that, but we still believe that this hydro facility located in Quebec will add value for our shareholders in terms of being accretive on a cash flow per share basis, in terms of diversification, sustainability of the dividend, etc. All I can say at this point is that both parties are committed to transact and working at it to make it happen. So on this, I will turn to Michel.
Thank you, Jean. Good morning, everybody. So I guess the topics of the low flow in BC is coming back again this winter. It's like I said last year, people that were skiing late this spring in Whistler were happy. But I was asking our hydrologists in BC to take a look a little bit on the past big weather pattern in order just to reconfirm a little bit our long-term forecast on some of our assets. And it's been an interesting findings. you all heard, I guess, of El Nino and La Nina. To make a very long story short, it's the it's referring to the water temperature on the surface of the Pacific Ocean. El Nino is referred to warmer sea temperature, and La Nina is colder temperature. Well, unfortunately, in the last couple of winter, we have been into a La Nina phenomenon, which translates to colder weather in BC. In a recent National Geographic article, they were hinting towards saying that El Nino would be coming back somewhere in 2015. So maybe next year we'll have a warmer winter. Nonetheless, those phenomena tends to evens out over the a long period of time. So one has to remember that we're taking long-term averages based on historical data that goes back to 40 years, 60 years sometimes. So we're very confident on the long-term basis on the production, but quarter to quarter or even a couple of years could be either dry or very wet. So we're continuing our philosophy of diversification throughout Canada, and diversification also in terms of technology. but we remain very confident towards the long-term trend of our facility. On a positive note, as Jean was hinting, we have completed our EDGE program for fixing the interest rate. As you know, this is that was a priority for us, you know, in order to make sure that we're protecting the economics of the project. We also are working very diligently to put those financing in place throughout the year, namely for Tetewe, Upper Lewitt, and Boulder. So far, the team of Jean is very pleased with the initial offer that we have received, so very positive towards that part. And construction is going very well also in BC. As winter is receding, we have restarted construction on Upper Lillooet and Boulder. Tritawi has been active most of the winter. That particular project is a little bit south and in lower elevation, so we had access to the construction site. Things are progressing very well on that particular site. Finalizing all the permits for Big Silver throughout the quarter. We're waiting to receive the final leave to construct in the next few days or weeks, so that we should be able to start construction, full construction activities in June. On a very positive note as well is that we have signed our PPA contract for the MU project in the wind in Quebec, and I've completed all the public hearing process. No more demand for a further hearing process has been filed, so that is basically saving us a couple of months in the schedule for finalizing the permitting on that particular project, so it's very, very positive on that aspect. We're negotiating now with the turbine manufacturer for the MU project, and so far we have very good indication that our early assumptions on cost and production are getting confirmed positively. A lot of attention is being awarded to this project by turbine manufacturer. They don't have a lot of order these days, so I would say that we have a good leverage on the prices and the machine available to us. In terms of outlook towards next year, in terms of, or even this year, in terms of development. We're very active in Quebec. As you know, there's an RFP which is due for submitting in early September. So we have completed our public hearing process in the Bas-Saint-Laurent and in the Gaspé Peninsula. So we are advancing towards being ready for obviously participate in that RFP. So far, the reception from the local stakeholder and municipal entity are very positive toward the project that we want to submit. That's about it in terms of big activities. As you know, we also work in First Nation partnership in BC, both for Nukai project, which is a wind facility in the Northwest. And we're working very closely with the Inchuk for a cluster of hydro facility in the south of British Columbia. So on that note, I think we'll open up the question period. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This completes our presentation. We now invite you to ask your questions. Nous vous invitons à poser vos questions.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, we will now conduct the question and answer session. If you have a question, please press the star followed by the 1 on your touchtone phone. You will hear a tone acknowledging your request. Your questions will be polled in the order they are received. Please ensure you lift the handset if you are using a speakerphone before pressing any keys. One moment, please, for your first question. Your first question comes from Rupert Mayer with National Bank. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Morning.
Hello, Rupert.
I'd like to start with a question on your development activities. You spent $11.4 million in the quarter on development. Can you talk about where that was spent? And then also looking at the balance sheet now, you're carrying, I think, $83 million in project development costs. I think only about $30 million of that, if I'm not mistaken, is for Big Silver and MU. So if you can talk a little about where the remaining investment is and what do you think are the opportunities for realizing the value on those assets?
Well, I'll let Jean Perron answer that, but Rupert, specify your question in saying the last portion and saying that if we can realize these assets,
the value?
Yeah. What do you mean by that,
recover the value, I guess.
Move those projects through to construction, mm-hmm. ultimately.
Yeah. Well, they're definitely going through construction. I'll let Jean answer the numbers, and then I'll qualify just after that.
Well, the prospective project expense that we are incurring, a big portion of it obviously are related to the Quebec RFP. And like Michel was mentioning, the other portion are mainly based on BC, although we're still looking at some other project in other provinces also. I guess the second portion of your question was related to the project development cost. A portion of these costs will be moved to the property plant and equipment pretty soon upon start of construction. Otherwise, there is still an amount that is related to the license that we acquired from CloudWorks that we're still developing. Portion of it is also with, what Michel was referring to with the partnership with the First Nation that we're developing in BC. So those licenses are covering a lot of prospective project in BC. Mainly they are BC based.
So if your question, Rupert, is are we transferring the amount that we were allocated to Big Silver into the construction cost? Yes, and we are calculating our return based on the total acquisition cost and the new construction activity. So whatever guidelines we gave you earlier during the year, is taking into account the initial acquisition numbers.
Okay, great. And then just finally on the St. Margaret discussions, what are the hurdles for completing an acquisition of that asset? And if it does go forward, I believe you have $27 million loan outstanding on that asset. Would you need much more equity to complete the acquisition? Thanks.
We would not need a lot more, but I don't want to get into the details of that particular acquisition, but we said also that it could also include an exchange of shares. So part of the $27 million could be reimbursed and share exchange could be done. So we're trying to finalize all the... the hurdle, as you're mentioning, one big hurdle, as we mentioned, I think earlier, was related to cross security regarding other project, and that SM1 asset has been not granted, but had a cross security on it. So that aspect is, to our understanding, fairly clear now. But documentation are getting finalized with the sellers and their lenders.
All right, thanks very much.
Pleasure.
Your next question comes from Sean Stewart with TD Securities. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning, Sean.
Michel, your current construction pipeline, extends through, I guess, 2016, and I know you have intentions, probably in Quebec on the wind side, in addition to MU, to build that out a little bit more. But I guess what I'm asking is, bigger picture, as the current construction pipeline is completed, can you give thoughts on, I guess, updated dividend policy? When you might think about dividend increases going forward and any articulation of I guess the payout ratio policy going forward?
Yeah. Obviously, those are paramount to the board decision. So, as we said in the past, the board is well aware of the formula towards growth of the dividend rate and appreciation of capital on the stock. So obviously, as we move forward into putting those projects in COD, the cash flow available to either being used to continue the development or increase the dividend will increase, and our margin will be obviously a lot more wide. I think that we can hint towards saying that something below 80% is something that is probably desirable, so that it creates a potential of dividend growth, and we could keep enough cash flow in order to sustain some future development. So that's probably, into a few words, something that we are looking into. But obviously, if very good opportunities arise, I think the company should stay flexible in terms of potential acquisition or creation of value for the shareholder. But we're very mindful of the desire of the investor to understand the growth profile of our dividend.
Understood. I guess my second question would be with respect to the wind RFP in Quebec, beyond MU, you guys had indicated you have quite a bit that you would bid into to the RFP. Are you able to provide any context on total capacity you might bid into this? I guess your expectations for how crowded this RFP might be.
Well, I think that, as you know, this is the only active RFP in Canada, so there will be some participant. The difference here compared to maybe other past RFPs in other provinces is that you have to be a partner with local entity. I think we've shown in the past that we can be a great partner, namely lately with the Vigée de Nonville. So I think that on that note, we're ranking very high, being a Quebec-based company and being open and having a culture of being a good partner for local community and First Nations. So I'm very positive on that aspect. So that might reduce a little bit the competitive pressure. But in the past, in Quebec, we've seen something around 4-1, four project bid for each being allocated. I guess that this ratio is probably going to getting realized again in this particular RFP. But we're very confident, we're always saying that we'd be very happy to win project when we put the determined condition that we can live with. If we don't, some other people might be more aggressive in terms of wind or stuff like that. So I wouldn't comment on our chances more than that on winning. There's a fair competitor out there, but I think we certainly have a good shot at it.
Great. Thanks very much for the context.
My pleasure.
Your next question comes from Nelson Ng with RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Great. Thanks. Good morning, everyone.
Nelson.
Just a quick question on reintroducing the DRIP. Could you just provide some color as to, I think you talked about in the past in terms of you were thinking about reintroducing it, but I guess why are you kind of putting the DRIP back in? Is it partly because you feel that the share price is no longer trading at a discount, or do you need some equity for going forward, or what are some of the factors for the DRIP?
I think that it's more being normally, because if we decide to have a DRIP, a lot of our investors were asking for it and were pleased with the program. But when the stock went down below 9%, $9, we really felt that it was way too dilutive. Reintroducing it, we always said that the DRIP program is part of a continuous need for a little bit of equity in order to support future development. We're very positive towards the future, and we think we can create value with a little bit of equity that we're getting from the DRIP. So that basically explains why we are reintroducing it. It's more likely that the dip of the stock price below $9 was way too low to justify the putting out a discount on the DRIP.
Okay, and can you remind me what the participation rate was when the DRIP was on? Was it like 30% or 40%?
It was as high as 40%, and last quarter was as low as 14%.
Okay. All right, so 40% with the DRIP, and I guess last quarter without the DRIP, it dropped down to 14%.
Yeah, with the discount, you mean?
Without the discount. Okay. And then just I wanted to ask about the hydrology in BC. I think in the last 2 years, like the first quarter was below average, and then like the second and third quarter, you saw a bit of a recovery. Is it the same case this year in terms of, is it just, you know, the snowpack not melting, and you'd expect to see Q2 and Q3 recover or exceed the long-term average as the snow melts? Or like, do you have any color on how Q2 is looking? And
obviously quite difficult to forecast the rest of the year because weather pattern can be tricky. But like I mentioned, the last two winter were more related to Nina phenomenon, which translate into weather without much rain. As you remember, we're run-of-the-river facilities, so we don't have big reservoir to capture runoff in springtime. So any time there's a warmer weather where you have some occasional during the winter tends to benefit our production because then it melt and it runs into the river. We can capture some of it. And if it goes a few times like that, then it's very positive for to our production. When the winter doesn't really go into warm cycle and the snowpack just accumulated, this is not a good winter for us, and that is linked to La Nina phenomenon. So, like I was saying, those big move into weather pattern tends to even them out over the years. We're now due for El Nino phenomenon, which is the basically a little bit of contrary where you have warmer winter. So I guess that the snow has fallen on the mountain range, and I'm sure the snow will melt, but we don't know how much, how fast it will melt, and we don't know if the summer will be wet or the winter will be wet. But we're positive towards the long-term averages.
Okay, that's great. And then just kind of one last question on project development. So you've talked a lot about Ontario, Quebec, and BC. I think in the past you didn't really look at the U.S. Is that still the case in terms of focusing in Canada rather than potentially looking at the U.S.?
Well, the reason why we looked at Canada in the past, I mention it quite often, is that, first of all, we were Canada in having long-term PPA and RFPs. And we've been successful in winning quite a bit of those over the years. The U.S. was challenging in terms of long-term PPA for the last, 10 years. But things are changing a little bit in the U.S. There's possibility signed PPAs for 10, 15 years. There's a little bit more liquid market on the green attribute for energy. And the natural gas price is coming back to a little bit probably normal prices. So obviously the U.S. is a huge market. We can certainly find a little niche here and there. And definitely if we're not as busy in Canada, we'll certainly take a closer look to the U.S.
Okay, that's great. Thanks, John. Or Michelle.
Ladies and gentlemen, if there are any additional questions at this time, please press the star followed by the 1. As a reminder, if you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before pressing the keys. Your next question comes from Ben Pham with BMO Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you and good morning, everybody.
Morning.
Just on that last comment about long-term averages, I think you touched upon this a little bit in your commentary. I'm just wondering, particularly with BC Hydro long-term averages, I mean, what typically will cause you to look at revisiting the long-term average? And, I mean, is it simply your technicians advising you, or do you need a couple of years where the variances are significant? I mean, what are typically the key drivers of looking at revisiting long-term averages?
We never do.
Okay.
We keep it the way it was initially, so you can tell us that we were wrong, and we can look at it and say that we were wrong. So and if you look back to 2003, we're at 99% of our long-term averages, and that includes some fairly bad years in the wind sector. So if you look at the hydro sector, we're probably 101, 102. Over those 10 years, so we don't like revisiting unless there's something, you know, obvious and permanent in terms of limitation of our ability. But this way, we think it is a very good proxy on our ability to forecast. If we keep changing the long-term forecast, it's pretty easy to be on budget, right?
Okay, yeah, that's fair enough. And could you possibly comment on the wind resource so far in Q2, just on the, I guess, just on all of the wind, hydro, and solar?
Solar, Jean Trudeau will.
Yeah, I have the numbers for the month of April. Solar is at 115, so very good month. It's only a month, right? But it's a good month. The wind segment is at 103, and for the month of April, hydro in Quebec is at 90, in Ontario it's 75, and in the west, which includes Idaho, it's 65%. So overall, the month of April is still below average at 81%. But as I mentioned, though, that we're starting to see the fresh air coming in now in our results in BC. So is it gonna help the quarter, the second quarter, to be on its average? I mean, it remains to be seen, but. It's a very similar pattern to last year.
Okay, and then maybe lastly, just on the Hydro Mega LI projects or the acquisition there, can you remind me, are you pursuing those assets as a package? Like, is it SM1 plus the Ontario Hydro together?
Jean will answer.
Well, yeah, well, we did MacPie, right, as you saw,
yep.
And then we switched our attention to SM1. Right now, we're really focusing solely on SM1 at this time, and then we'll evaluate, you know, each asset one by one. At the beginning, I hate to say this, it's in July 2012. At the beginning, when we looked at it, we were looking at it as a whole, but it became obvious very quickly that it would be much easier to deal asset by asset, and so that's what we did.
Okay, and what's the latest update on Doki?
Well, they're in the assets that are owned by Hydro Mega. There's SM1, then Capus Kissing, and Dokis. That's the one you refer to?
Yeah.
Dokis is under construction now by Hydro Mega, so it was also put on the back burner from our standpoint because of that. I mean, to the complexity of buying through construction, we thought it was, you know, the complexity was too high, so we just agreed with the seller to postpone an eventual purchase of that asset.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying that. And that's it for me.
Thank you.
Ms. Prevec, there are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, and thank you, everyone. We appreciate this opportunity to provide an update about our company. Please don't hesitate to contact us if you have any other questions. Merci à tous. Nous apprécions cette occasion de vous faire une mise à jour de nos activités. N'hésitez pas à communiquer avec nous si vous avez d'autres questions.
Merci.
Merci. Merci.
Ladies and gentlemen, that concludes our conference call. Please note that a replay of the conference call will be available on the Innergex website later today. Thank you, and you may now disconnect your lines.